She got worse this evening, so that's where my wife and my child are at. So pray for them if you would. Lord, it'd help her to get better. Verse number 47. John chapter 7, verse number 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him?" If you would pray with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow as humbly as we know how. God, I thank you for the opportunity to present the gospel of Christ. I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray you'd guide us and direct us, Lord. I pray we'd get ourselves out of the way. God, I pray I decrease where thou might increase, Lord. I pray you'd fill us with the Holy Ghost of God. I pray you'd anoint us afresh. I pray you'd use us for your honor and your glory. I pray if there's any minor miss, never been saved, Lord, they don't know what it is to be born again. I pray today would be the day that they get saved, Lord. I pray if there's anybody here that, God, though they've been saved, though they have a relationship with Christ, their fellowship is not where it ought to be. And I pray tonight they'd get that renewed in Christ. I thank you for all your many blessings. I thank you for all that you've done, everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A portion of Scripture, you that know your Bible, we're in chapter number 7. And verse 47, 48, we read in your hearings where the Pharisees were getting a little concerned. Their concern was that there would be those that begin to believe on Christ and not on the Pharisaical religion. They were concerned that Jesus began to cause an uproar and begin to cause people to change their minds about what they've always been taught in the church. And so I want to look at several things here. And maybe you've heard this, I guess you'd say. I remember when I was younger, if we would say something that sounded unbelievable, or it sounded too good to be true, a lot of the young people would tell me to get real, amen? And I remember that saying a lot when I was young. They'd say, "Troy, get real." What they're saying is, it sounds so good, but just get real with me. And I want to preach on this subject by the help of the God on get real. Jesus, out of all people that ever walked on this earth, who was real, Jesus was real. And I want to show you very quickly, it's amazing to me how a man who had no rabbinical training, he had no Bible college, he had no seminary, he had never been to any Bible classes. He was a carpenter. All of a sudden, there was those that studied from the age of 12 to 30. 18 years, they spent their life studying the Old Testament. All of a sudden, one day, Jesus walks in the temple, and he begins to teach, and everybody starts changing their mind on what they've always believed. Amen? What caused that? What caused people to follow Jesus? I tell you why he was real. I want to show you three things very quickly by the help of the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he went to the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now you know it was a feast that was going on by the Jews. Verse number 10, he walks in, he begins to teach, I believe, in verse number 14. And then look at verse number 15. What made him so real? What was it about Jesus that got everybody's attention? What got their attention is the same thing that's going to get the world's attention if we'll heed to it. Notice this. The Bible said, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Can I say to you, number one, if you ever want to get real, you must have an understanding of the Word of God. There must be an understanding of what the Bible says. I know when everybody tries to quote the Bible, and they love to use the Bible, and they love to talk about the Bible, but what I'm saying is, do they understand the Bible? What the Pharisees run into was, they had studied it all their life. Jesus comes in as a carpenter, and all of a sudden he's astonishing them at his knowledge. They said, "How does he know the letters? How does he know the Old Testament? How does he know this?" Notice what the Bible tells us. He said, "Having never learned." Now, wait a minute. Here's what they didn't understand. God was the Word. Amen. They wondered how he knew it so well. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that acknowledged and made that of the Word. So the Bible said they were astonished and they begin to marvel. Can I tell you, if you'll study and begin to meditate and ask God to show you the Bible, did you know it will change people?
Yeah.
I believe that. It's more than just quoting a scripture here, quoting a scripture there, but knowing more about your Bible. I have found in my short ministry as a preacher that more people will turn to you if you understand and have a basic knowledge of the Bible.
Right.
They'll look to you. They'll look to you for answers. They'll look to you for knowledge if you understand the basis of the Bible. And by the way, the entire Bible is focused on one particular thing. Redemption of humanity. That's it. 66 books focus on the redemption of human man. That's all it's dealing with. The whole Bible deals with the redemption of man. I had a man tell me when I was in Bible college, he said the Bible is all focused, the entire Bible, on the end of days. I said, you missed it, man. The entire Bible is based on the redemption of sinners. The entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you can find a picture of redemption all the way through. Notice what he says. Not only was his understanding what caused him to realize, but notice this. In verse number 31, and many of the people believed on him. Why did they believe on him? Notice this. And said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man had done? In other words, they looked to him and they begin to notice him because of his works. Can I say to you today that people that are looking for something, you know what they're looking for? You know what this world's looking for? Somebody that's real. That's what they're looking for. They've seen enough hypocrisy. They've seen enough religious nuts. They don't want any more of that. They want somebody that's real. Notice this. They had watched the religious sect talk the talk for many years. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene and something changes. They notice, wait a minute, he's not just talking it, he's walking it. Wait a minute, he's not just knowing a little bit about the Bible, he seemingly is the Bible. Something was different about this man. Notice this. And so his works begin to make a difference in their life. I think about, if you'll go on to chapter number 8, Jesus meets a woman. It's probably the most beautiful picture of law and grace you'll ever find in the Bible. Chapter 8, you'll find that the Bible said they bring an adulteress to him and they begin to condemn her. They caught her, they condemned her, and they thought that they were going to get to put her to death that day. But you know what's amazing to me? For men that studied the law for 18 years, can you tell me how they missed this one minor part? Can anybody tell me? The Bible said they brought and said, look, the law of Moses condemned her. We need to stone her. One mistake they made. The law had more than just condemn in it, by the way. The law done more than just catch people in their sin. The Bible said it was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That day, what they intended to be harm to her, and they thought we've got the law behind us. The law's going to condemn her. Can I tell you, it's law that brought her to grace? Had it not been for the law, she'd have never got to grace. She stood before grace that day, and they said, we're going to condemn her. Problem was, grace don't do that. Amen. The law, if it were not for the law, she'd have never come to the knowledge of grace. And so it took the law to bring her to grace. And so notice this, it was the works of God. It was the knowledge of God that brought her. The Bible says the goodness of God that bringeth us unto repentance. And so notice, it's our works. People will notice our understanding of the Bible, and they'll also notice our works. By the way, Jesus and every one of his disciples were workers. They all were. I want you to show me one dedicated Christian in the Bible that never worked. Show me one. They're not there, amen? Oh, Troy, I believe that God's called me to sit on the pew and pray for everybody else that is working. That's not scripture, amen? I believe God has called me, and he wants me to be a prayer warrior. Good for you, but put some legs on your prayers.
Amen.
There's more to it than that. And so God wants us to work. Matter of fact, Jesus for 3.5 years of his ministry was always found working. Always. He was always doing something. And so notice this. They were astonished. They begin to, and by the way, notice what the Bible says that happened. It caused a division among the people. Now, just because you're real, just because you live right, walk right, talk right, and do everything the Bible says, not everybody's going to like you, amen. You're going to cause a division, I promise you. There's people that's not going to like you because you are real. There's people that's going to follow you and love you because you're real. But just because you're real doesn't mean you're not going to face any consequences. The Bible said there was a division among them. Notice what the Bible said. Then verse number 45. Then came the officers. Remember the Bible said they sent temple officers to go get Christ. They said, hey, go get him. They wanted to kill him. Matter of fact, in one place they said, I thought this was the one they were out to kill. Why ain't nobody laying hands on him? Amen. I thought they said they wanted to kill the man, yet he's speaking boldly, and ain't nobody even talking to him about it. Nobody's saying nothing. Ain't that amazing? All the Jews, it was known throughout Jerusalem that they wanted to kill him. But all of a sudden, Jesus is preaching openly, boldly, and nobody has even so much as said a word to him. Why? Now, I know the Bible says it wasn't his time, but there was another reason. They were scared to death of him. He was real. They knew something was different. They couldn't quite pick up on what it was, but they knew something was different, and they didn't want to touch him. And notice what the Bible said. So they sent temple officers. Now, you know a temple officer, you know what they were? They were known for sitting in the church service every Sunday the door was open. So they had heard thousands of messages now. I want you to get this. Thousands of sermons by the Pharisees they had heard. So they go to get Jesus. No big deal. It's no problem. We'll just go pick him up and come home. One minor problem. They listen to him preach. They thought, we'll go get him. That's not going to be a big task. They said, just go get Jesus. But they sat down that day like they had heard thousands of sermons before. But this was like no other sermon they'd ever heard. And they sit down and they said, well, we'll let him finish his talk and then we'll get him. That's where they made a mistake. Amen. They heard a real message for the first time in their life. They had heard a lot of messages, but none like this one. Notice what the Bible said. They said, look, why you have not brought him? Why have you not brought him? The officer said, never man spake like this man. Never heard nothing like this. Now, I don't know what that done to the Pharisees, but I promise you it didn't go over well. Could you imagine, as Brother Jeff said before, that you've heard your pastor thousands of times and you've heard it for 10 years, and then some man comes in and preaches and they come out the door and say, man, I ain't never heard nothing like that. That's what they said that day. Now, how mad do you think the Jewish people were? How mad do you think the Pharisees were? Why? Because there was something about his speech that was different. A true Christian, I promise you, there'll be something different about their talk. There'll be something different about their speech. There'll be something that they notice that is different. Number one, you always usually be talking about the Lord. It's very easy to find where people live. Just find out what they talk about. It's not real hard. I wonder if they're in sin. Listen to what they talk about. I wonder if they really love God. Listen to what they talk about. Their speech will tell on them. And so notice this. He says this. He said, then answer the Pharisees, are you also deceived? They said, look, are you deceived as well? Are you deceived? He said, they begin to worry. They said, are the rulers? Now, I don't know who all changed that day, but it's very evident to me that the temple officers changed. That's something they never went back. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they was there the following Sunday to hear him again. Yeah, right. Amen. And it wasn't because they had to this time. It was because they wanted to. Amen. And so can I say to you, not only with the understanding of God, not only will we do it by the works of God, we'll know that we're real, but our speech will tell if we're real. And so as we notice in chapter 8, when I said the Lord began to talk about grace, you know what God could have done? Jesus could have spoke of grace in chapter number 8, but he didn't do that. He decided to show grace in its purest form. He could have said, hey guys, I want to talk to you about the Lord. I want to talk to you about grace, and I want to talk to you how much grace is, but he didn't do that. He personified grace in the flesh, and he showed them what grace was. And so he says, look, he says, does any man condemn thee? Neither do I. But here's one people forget. You know what they'll tell me? And they'll tell you the same. Well, you born-again Christians, especially those that believe in eternal security, you believe in a license to sin. Number one, I've never seen a license that said that. Number two, the Bible said, and now remember, Jesus was grace, was he not? He said this. He said, go and sin no more. Do you know grace charged them never to sin again? That's totally different than what everybody tells me about grace. They'll say, I thought y'all believe that men can sin and then they can just repent and get over it, blah, 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 blah. No, sir. Listen what the Bible says. He charged her to sin no more. He said, don't do it again. Amen. Never. And so I wonder this evening, are we real? Are we who we say we are? Are we making a difference in the world? Does the world see us? Does the world talk about us? The other day I was going down the road and I got several neighbors. Now, in saying that, they ain't the best neighbors I could ever have, okay? Now, they wouldn't have been the neighbors I picked, being honest with you, but I probably wouldn't have been the one they picked. But they've moved in. And they've got, multitudes of kids going everywhere. Amen. When I say kids, I'm talking about teenagers. And then this teenager has this one move in. Now they got another one move in. And they're everywhere. And so the other day I was heading out and they talk to me a lot when I go out. If I ever get caught outside, they want to talk. And so I talk to them. And I've talked to them about the Bible and I've talked to them about going to church and I've witnessed to them. But you know what's amazing to me? I can talk all I want to. But the other day, I was going down the road, and I saw all four of them walking. And I pulled over. They kind of startled them. I said, where are you going? They said, we're just going up to McDonald's. I said, get in, man. It's hot. You going to give us a ride? Yeah. Well, why are you going to do that? And they got room. Time to come out and invite them to church, talking about being saved, talking to their mother about being saved. She talked to me one day. She said, well, I just know what I've experienced. I know what I feel. I said, yeah, but what's the Bible say? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, it don't matter what you feel. I feel a lot of things. I feel crazy sometimes, but I'm not. I said, sometimes I feel like going nuts, but I don't. It don't matter what you feel like. It don't matter. What does the scripture say? And that's what people get away from. They get away from the Bible. It's all about what I think, what I feel, it's all about what I perceive God in his love to be. That's what we're living in a world of society that it's what I have in my mind on what God is. That's who he is. Let me tell you something. You can't make God anything. God's who he's going to be, whether you believe it or not. God is who he is, whether you believe it or not. And what we got to get back to is, what does the Bible define God as? What does the Bible define being real as? What does God define salvation as? I was at a church this morning, and the pastor basically pushed it towards belief. Belief. I said, look, I know devils that believe in Jesus. Amen. I said, that don't mean they're going to heaven when they die. I mean, the Bible said the devil believes in tremble. I said, it's more than just me believing. It takes repentance unto God. Everybody tells me, Troy, I believe in God. Well, good. You want a cookie? I mean, I don't know what you want me to do for you. I mean, but I believe in God. It doesn't matter. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Here's what separates every religion in this world. Who do you say Jesus is? That separates every religion you'll ever study. Study them. Every religion boils down to one factor. Who is Jesus? I've had your witness to me. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I said, sure you do. Just not the same one I do. Yeah. Well, sure. I believe in the same Jesus. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. You believe Jesus is God? Well, no. Then we don't believe in the same Jesus. Pretty simple. We don't believe in the same Jesus. Believe in Jesus, I believe in, was God in these flesh? 100%. Best question's asked. I said, so you can't believe in the same Jesus. so God, people are looking for realism, not emotionalism. And it'll bring emotion. I'm glad of that. But they're looking for more than that. I had a man tell me one time, and I'll never forget, and I'll come to a close. He was saying, you know, have you ever heard people shout and you never felt nothing out of it? I said, yeah. And I've heard people shout that made me want to shout. Amen? So I've had both ends of the spectrum, okay? I said, I felt it both ways. He said, why do you think that is? I said, I don't know. He said, let me give you an illustration then. He said, when I was a young boy, he said, we used to ride in wagons that were driven by horses. He said, all my years of riding in a wagon, you know what I noticed about a wagon? He said, you know that they make more noise full than when they're empty? He said, they make more noise when they're empty than when they're full. I said, really? He said, yeah, you can fill them up and they don't make any kind of noise. But you take one empty and it'll rattle and hoot and holler and make all kind of noise. He said, it ain't everybody that shouts got something in them, amen. Ain't everybody doing that, amen. Some people just empty and hollering. That's fine, whatever you want to do, but you need to be filled by the Spirit of God. So I wonder tonight, are you real? As they bring a verse of song, are you real? Can you honestly say, I believe in my heart? I didn't say perfect, I said, are you real? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know Him? Jesus was a real person who walked on this earth. No matter what the world says, no matter what people think about it, Jesus was a factual person that walked. The Bible has proven it out. Then he went to a seminar. I meant to go with him Saturday, could not go. It was based out of Texas, and it was a seminar on creationism versus evolution and how creation and how science proves everything. Now, I talked to one man. I talked to two or three men. I wanted them to go. I was planning on going. You know what they said? Oh, I know. Why do I need to know about creation? I said, why you got a problem with the Bible? What do you mean? I said, why does it matter? I said, they're trying to. Here's the problem. I heard a man speak today, and he said he speaks to a lot of natives and Indians. He said, you know what they found in their statistics? 70% of the people they witness to stops them within the first few sentences and ask them about evolution. And what they have found is, until we deal with the issue of evolution first, we never can get them to hear the gospel. But you know what's amazing? If you go back into the Pauline epistles, Paul did the same thing one time. He addressed creation first before he ever got into the gospel. Before he ever presented Christ, he presented the beginning. And he said, what happens is a lot of these people that can't get out of their head that God has always existed. He's always. There was not a time where he was not here. He's just always been. And he said, we found that if we start and address evolution first and creationism, he said, once we start there, then they'll listen to the gospel. But until we define who he is, he said, here's the problem. He said, we tell them the answer, but the problem is they don't even know the question. We give them the answer of the gospel of Christ, but they don't even know what the question is. And sometimes we forget there is a world that knows nothing about God. They know what they believe. They know what they've heard. But here's the problem. There's people that live in the United States of America, as we had one, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 17, 18, 16, never even heard the name of Jesus. That's impossible. No, sir, it's here. Did you know right now we have more missionaries coming here than we have going overseas? Do you know why that is? Because the ones overseas believe we're worse off than they are. They're sending people. I remember Daddy saying years ago, many years ago, he said, look, I'm for foreign mission. I'm for going out and witnessing to people on the far ends of the earth. He said, but our nation is so sick, I feel like calling every missionary I know and sick, get home. Mama's sick. We need your help. Get home. We need help here. We got a nation, whether you realize it or not, is going down. It's continuing to go down. Things are being distorted. Remember what the Bible said, "We he that knoweth to do it good, doeth not him his sin." And the Bible also talks about how that man would be right in their own eyes. That's what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with a nation that believes no matter what, it's all right in their own eyes. You watch the news for 10 minutes and you'll find how twisted our nation is. They'll condemn one group of people. But then when it happens somewhere else, it's double standards. Oh, we don't want to deal with these people. We don't want to say nothing to them. Why? Because their standards are different. If people don't have boundaries and standards, they'll always go to the left. Always. Always. There's boundaries for a reason. You know, it's on these trampolines now. I've noticed they've all got these big 6-foot bar. I mean, net all the way around. And why? People figured out jumping on them things ain't as safe as what they thought. It looked fun. Everybody jumping until they land on their head. And somebody's in the emergency room and all of a sudden, oh, them things ain't fun no more. Why? Now they put boundaries on them. And that's what we need in our life is some boundaries. I wonder, are you real tonight? As they bring a verse of song. I'm done.